Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with signs of the times as we pick up in Luke chapter 12, verse 54. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
Now, he is talking to his disciples up to this point. Now he turns to the crowd. And he said to the people, "When you see a cloud rise out of the west, immediately you say, 'Oh, there's going to be a shower.' And so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, 'Oh, it's going to be a hot day today.' And it comes to pass." Over there, of course, from the west would be it would be coming from the Mediterranean Sea. So like here, when you've got the clouds blowing in from the ocean, you say, "Oh, we're going to have a shower," you know. And you get the Santanas blowing, you say, "Oh, it's going to be a hot one today," you know. So over there, much the same. Jesus said, "You hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that you can't discern this time?" In other words, you're able to tell by the signs in the heavens what kind of a day it's going to be, rainy or hot. Why is it that you haven't been able to read the signs that God has placed for the time of the coming of the Messiah? And he rebuked them because they had not known the time of his coming. They should have. Now, I feel that the same is true for us today. The Lord has given ample evidence by prophecy, telling in advance the things that would exist at the time of the return of Jesus Christ. Having given us the signs of these things, he said, "Now when you see these things begin to come to pass, look up and lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh." And yet there are people who are able to make predictions of the stock market, or able to make weather predictions, or they can predict and forecast many things, but they're not aware of the fact that we are in the last days and in the end of time, and the same kind of a spiritual blindness over the return of Christ. And even many ministers will sort of mock the idea of the imminency of the return of Jesus Christ. How sad that people are just as ignorant of his second coming as they were his first. He said, "Yes, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right?" Why can't you yourself make a good judgment? Now he said, "When you go with your adversary to the magistrate," you've got problems, you're being involved with a suit, "as you're in the way, give diligence that you may be delivered from him." Seek an out-of-court settlement, what the Lord is saying. "Lest he hail you to the judge, and the judge deliver you to the officer who cast you into prison." I'll tell you, you won't get out until you've paid the very last mite, which is 1/8 of a cent. Now, there were present at that season, and of course, now Luke may have gone on in a period of time. We don't know how much time elapsed between verse 59 of chapter 12 and 13:1. It could be that this synagogue is somewhere down near Jericho. "There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices." Now, the Galileans were often hot-headed. They were always chafing under the Roman rule, and most of the revolts against the Roman government came in the area of Galilee. So they are relating to Jesus how that there were some Galileans who were probably involved in a ruckus against Rome. And Herod sent his soldiers, and when the soldiers came, they were in the act of offering sacrifices to God, and the soldiers killed them right there, and their blood was mingled with the blood of the sacrifices. And of course, to the Jew, that was a very heinous thing. And so they had just informed Jesus about this, and Jesus answering said unto them, "Do you suppose that these Galileans were sinners greater than all of the rest of the Galileans? Do you suppose that they were the worst sinners in Galilee because they suffered such things? Do you think that this is an act of God's judgment because they were worse sinners than all the rest?" Now, it is so often that we make that mistake of when something happens to a person that is a very sad or tragic event. So many times people look at it as judgment. Oh, well, they getting what they deserve, aren't they? You know, I wonder what they did to deserve that terrible thing. And Jesus is putting down this concept. Hey, do you think that because this happened to them, they were worse sinners than the rest of the people in Galilee? He said, "I tell you, no way. And unless you repent, you also are going to perish." Now, the 18 people upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them, you think that that happened because they were sinners who were living there in Jerusalem? Now, the Pool of Siloam is down in an area that you have to go down many steps to get down to the Pool of Siloam. And they probably had, there are buildings around the Pool of Siloam now, walls and all. And they were probably building a tower, and the people used to go to the Pool of Siloam. It was a crowded place because that was the main water supply for Israel, for Jerusalem. And the women would do their washing there in the pool. Also, there was no doubt always crowded with people. And this tower of that they were building there at the Pool of Siloam fell, and 18 people were crushed to death. And so Jesus calls the attention to this tragedy. He said, "Do you think that that happened because they were the worst sinners in Jerusalem?" "Nope. I tell you, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." And then he spoke a parable to them. "A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came and sought fruit from it, and he found none. And he said to the dresser of his vineyard, 3 years I've been waiting for this tree to produce fruit, and I have found none. Cut it down. Why should it take energy or nutrients out of the soil? Why cumbereth it the ground?' But the gardener answered and said, 'Lord, let it go for one more year, and I'll dig about it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, good. And if not, after that, we'll cut it down.'" The fig tree is used in a symbolic sense of the nation Israel. The Lord desiring to receive fruit and not receiving it. Coming for fruit, not finding it. And the one more opportunity that is given to them to bear fruit. If they don't, then it will be cut down. Tragically, they did not, and the nation was cut off. And as he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years. And was bowed together and could not lift herself up. Now, I have seen people over there in the Orient, in the Middle East, who are bent over from their waist. The upper torso goes down, and they usually hold their head out, but it is they're bent double from their stomach. the upper torso down, and their head is sort of down by their feet, looking out, just bent over. And it's a very grotesque sight to see. Here was a woman who had this grotesque appearance, being bent double. She was in the synagogue on the Sabbath day when Jesus was there. According to the account, her condition was caused as the result of demonic activity, a spirit of infirmity. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and he said unto her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Imagine what that must have done in the synagogue that day with this woman who, after 18 years in this bent over condition, was able to stand up straight and started praising God and glorifying God. Now, the ruler of the synagogue responded with indignation because Jesus had healed her on the Sabbath day. And not to Jesus, he didn't have that much courage, but to the people. He said, "There are 6 days in which men ought to work, and in them, therefore, come and be healed, but not on the Sabbath day." So sort of rebuking the people, saying, "Look, you've got 6 days to be healed. Don't come on the Sabbath day." And the Lord answered him and said, "Hypocrite, do you not on the Sabbath day loose your ox or your donkey from the stall and lead him to the watering trough?" One thing about the Jews was they were always very humane. A high value upon life, human and animal. This humane aspect to the day is one of the great qualities of the Jewish people. Some of the greatest hospitals, open to everybody. Their value that they place upon life. And so, because of that, their law would allow them to untie the donkeys or their ox and lead it to water, even though it was the Sabbath day and that was work. Because of the humaneness of it or the kindness of it to animals, they were allowed to do that in the law. And so Jesus said, "You know, which of you? You have an ox or a donkey, don't you lose it? Don't you untie it on the Sabbath day to give it water? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, who Satan has bound, for lo, these 18 years be loosed on the Sabbath day?" All I've done is untie a woman that Satan has had bound up for 18 years. So what if it is the Sabbath day? You'll loose your donkey to give him water. And when he said these things, all of his adversaries were ashamed, rightfully so. And all of the people rejoiced in the glorious things that were done by him. And he said, "Unto what is the kingdom of God like?" Now, here he has just had this run-in with the religious leaders. The religious systems of man who had taken the revelation of God, the law, the ordinances, the statutes, and they had made such a system out of it that it was hard for a simple man to come to God with this complex system that man had made. And so really, as Jesus said, You won't enter the kingdom yourself, and you actually hinder those who would like to come into the kingdom. It's tragic when religion becomes a hindrance to man's coming to God rather than an assistance to man's coming to God. But that's the capacity of man. He's able to take a simple thing and make it extremely complex by setting up his own hierarchy in it and his systems of authority and power. And Jesus had just come up against the authority who would hold back the work of God on these people because of some tradition that they had developed, a concept of man that had become popular among them. And thus they would hold back the people from God's work in their lives. And so Jesus said, what shall I liken the kingdom of God to? What can I give to resemble it? It's like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew and waxed into a great tree. Wait a minute, something's wrong. A mustard seed is a herb. It belonged in the herb gardens. A mustard seed never became a great tree. There's something abnormal about this. There's an abnormal growth here. And it grew and waxed into a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it. In college, I had a professor who told us not to try to preach from the parables until we had been pastoring for at least 30 years. He said it will take you that long to understand the parables. What do college professors know? I started preaching from the parables immediately. I wish I could retract many of those sermons that I have preached from the parables. It's amazing how they have changed in the last 30 years. This parable and the following parable of the leaven hid in 3 measures of meal until it leavens the whole lump have had 2 widely divergent interpretations. There are some, mainly liberal theologians, who use these parables to show how the kingdom of God will start very small, like a mustard seed, which is so very small, yet it grew into a great tree, and the fowls of the air came and lodged in its branches. And so they teach that though the kingdom of God will start with a very small beginning, the 12 disciples, yet it will grow and grow and expand until it encompasses the whole world, and all kinds of nations and people will be able to lodge in its branches. And they say it really doesn't matter what a person believes, they all find shelter and lodging in this great tree. It's able to accommodate a wide variety of beliefs and systems. And again, the same idea with a little bit of leaven hid in 3 measures of meal until the whole of it is leavened is again a symbol of how just the gospel will begin in just a little part of the world, but will gradually expand until the whole world has been brought to Christ. These theologians back in 1935 and 36 were proclaiming every day and in every way the world is getting better and better and better. That was before Hitler began his movement into Austria. After Hitler's rise, somehow you didn't hear that phrase anymore because we saw that horrible Holocaust of World War II. But unfortunately, things haven't improved much since World War II. The world is perhaps in the worst shape it has ever been in. And far from the church being a healthy influence, bringing the kingdom of God, and of course, that was what was going to happen according to this philosophy. The church is going to bring the kingdom of God to the world. And one of these days, the church will take over the governments of the world, and we'll have a theocratic government, and we will be able to rule, and we'll bring the glorious kingdom age, and we'll bring peace, and the men will beat their swords into plowshares, and the church is going to bring to pass the glorious kingdom age. Now, there are still groups that do believe this. The Mormon church, for instance, has set itself up to take over the government as soon as it collapses. And they believe that the collapse must come, and they will then step in the shambles, and they will establish a righteous government.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Luke on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Luke 12 through 13 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
Now may the Lord be with you, bless you, and keep you. May you walk in the Spirit, and may you be strengthened by the work of His Holy Spirit in your inner man. May your life be enriched in all things in Christ Jesus. And may the Lord and the blessings of the Lord be upon you while we are absent from each other until we are brought back together again to continue our fellowship and our growing together in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
As Easter is approaching, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is on the hearts of Christians everywhere and how they might witness this beautiful story to their loved ones. With this in mind, The Word for Today would like to present a special MP3 entitled My Redeemer Lives that includes 14 reassuring messages to answer the significance of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and a life that should bring hope to everyone. Also included is a special presentation of the crucifixion from a doctor's perspective, as well as a powerful salvation message shared by Pastor Chuck. And when you order My Redeemer Lives MP3, we'll include a free CD by Pastor Chuck to witness to your loved ones that Jesus is indeed the Messiah. This CD, entitled A Risen Love, clearly presents the evidence to help others make a decision that will impact their immediate and eternal future. For more information, contact The Word for Today at 800-272-9673 or visit us online at thewordfortoday.org.